We give you praise for what you're doing in the body totally. I'm not interested in hearing on television that the church is built. We've got this $20 million piece of a meeting place, and it's all paid in full, and the congregation is totally in debt. I'm not interested in that, Lord. I want you to show yourself in the finances of your people. Back up your word. Back up this man who has spoken your word. We thank you for filling the bank account of the church. But God, in advance, I thank you for filling the bank accounts of the people. The provisional accounts of the people, not just money, but all provision because of their faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'll go ahead while I'm thinking if I've forgotten anything. Praise you, Jesus. Let's find out if I still have a voice left. What do you think? If I don't, so what? Praise the Lord. Has a report to you about the other, looking into another church building. The people are vacillating. Actually, the people aren't. The guy that owns the property is. We've put extreme pressure on him. I did it boldly. I won't apologize, and I'm going to do it again tomorrow. But I want you to agree with me the rest of this day, this evening when you pray, in the morning when you pray, that God puts extreme pressure on him. He knows what's right. He knows what needs to be done. And I'm not talking about knowing because he needs to agree with me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's a situation here where it's very obvious. Any 10 people in the world, any jury, would come to the same conclusion. But they can't see. So God needs to put the pressure on. Amen? Or I'm going to, and I'm going to walk away. It's that simple. Can I walk away, Jeff? You've seen me walk away, haven't you? You've seen me walk away when my wife didn't want me to walk away. Yeah. And the only reason I'm saying this is because I've had some very, very strong feelings about walking away. And I don't want to do that if it's me. I want to stay at the table, or I want to walk away at God's command. And I want it to be the answer to your prayers. I believe that that is what we're supposed to do. But by the same token, I do not believe that his children are to be beggars. So I'm not heavy into the word please, unless it really doesn't make any difference at all. Does that make sense to you? I saw my granddaughter use that on me recently, and I'm going to have to get a little callous to that. Peace. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to, I wish I could tell you to get the tape from Wednesday night, but it didn't make the corner. We didn't get the tape. The best service in the entire city was here. I can promise you that. I wish I could do what again? What's that? Absolutely. But I'm not going to hit it again, but I'm going to touch it again here and there. How about this calling it, continuing it? The reason I want to do that is because I owe some explanation to some people. Now, let me review as gently as I know how some things. There have been some of the strangest things going on I've ever seen since we got home. Starting Friday. So a little over a week now. Some really, really strange things. God has been dealing with me very strongly about a statement called the last or the final word. And I should know, but sometimes I'm as dense as everybody else. I forget that when God gives you a word, there's going to be a challenge to the word. Please understand what I'm telling you. If you think it's fun just to get a promise from God, it is. Then it's up to you to decide whether the test is going to be fun or not. And the only way you can decide if the test is fun is to know that it's coming from God. Then you know it's fun. If you use your normal mind and your normal senses, it's going to be a bust. And I've had tests from every direction. Some weird things happen from every direction. And I don't know that it's necessary that I go into every one of those. But I'm coming to the conclusion that it is a test from God, and I'm going to make up my mind to stand the test. Wednesday night I talked very much about some final words, and some of that's your responsibility and some of it's mine. Depends on whether it's only in your house or in this house. You understand what I'm saying? Some of the reactions that I've given some of you in the last week to 10 days, you may have thought was an overreaction, and possibly very much so. But when God is dealing with me, it's not a good time to talk to me. Come on, y'all can relate to that a little bit. If I'm fighting a battle, if I'm in the middle of a heated fight, it's best to stand back. Because sometimes just the hint of a fight over the shoulder gets you a bust in the nose. Y'all ever been in a fight? Y'all don't act like you know what I'm talking about. When you begin to swing, you just swing in all directions. And it's best not for somebody not to even tap you on the shoulder. Right? Just stay out of the way until the things have settled down a little bit. And let me say that half of you in this place have challenged me and caught a swing in the last 10 days. And the rest of you got yours coming. No, I hope that's not true. I hope I'm beginning to get my understanding better. But the explanation is what I'm trying to tell you. God is dealing very strong. Without going heavy into notes, I want to tell you where He's dealing. Number one, we've already heard through prophecy and through some preaching and through some teaching that God has taken us through change. Now, come on. Change means it ain't going to be the same as yesterday. And so He has to give some instructional teachings, are hands-on for that change. And I know that we're going to grow. I know that we're going to do that. I've told you that, and I'm not a liar, because I heard it from a man that can't lie, therefore I can't lie. I just repeat what he said, right? And I know it's coming. And I know that God's putting much pressure on me to begin to take the control that He's going to require of me. I've dealt with many situations from reaction rather than taking action. That's not God's way. You don't wait till the fire is there and then put it out. You prepare for it, and then you deal with it swiftly. What kind of fire? It doesn't make any difference what kind of fire. My goodness, why don't we quit talking about the extremes? Why don't we talk about the little things in our lives that kill us? I'm not worried about extremes. There's no extremes in my life. Come on, live with me. Talk with me. There's no extremes in my life. I've got the extremes taken care of. It's the little things that God's dealing with now. The little foxes, the little things. And so when God is dealing with me with that, it's one of those fights. It's one of those fights. And you may not like my reaction, but please, it's not because of lack of respect, a lack of love. It's mostly because I'm on my case. God's on my case. The reasons, they're the same as yours. You need to go check that air conditioner again. It stopped. I can tell you it stopped. It needs to be kicked off again. The reasons God wants final words. What is a final word? It is finished. That's the word God began to deal with me 2 months ago. It's begun to get real in the last few weeks. When Jesus, the only reason that Jesus completed His job is because He began to say it is finished before it was finished. He began to tell His friends and His loved ones and His situations that He wasn't going to listen to them anymore. He was going to listen to the voice of the Father. He alienated, at one point He alienated most of His disciples. They all said, foot with you, and went back home. Because He said, that's the last word. We're not going to talk about it anymore. What gave Him the right to do that? He was the head. Can I just talk straight to you for a minute? If you'd have been walking with Jesus, some of you would have agreed with the majority of the disciples and left Him. Because you would have determined He was wrong. That had nothing to do with Jesus standing on what He knew God was telling Him and saying, that's it. It's the last word. No more discussion. You understand what I'm saying? If you've got finance problems right now, you're going to have to learn some last word here. We're going to have to learn that. If we've got some health problems, we're going to have to learn what the last word is. And we may have to jump in our friend's face if they speak against the last word. Does that make sense to you in your own life? Then how much so more the church? Would you expect me to begin to do that some? If I felt like there were some situations or problems, no matter how small or how big, that I begin to have the final word in it. Not because I want to, because God says that's the way I'm going to require it. I required it of Jesus, I'm requiring it of you and you. In your position, in whatever position that is, God is going to hold you accountable for speaking louder than enemy voices. What's an enemy voice? Anything that goes against the voice of God. Doesn't make any difference if it's yours or somebody else's. Sometimes that authority must be used on yourself. You must tell yourself to be quiet and get in line. I want to do the will of the Father, just as Jesus did. You understand that? I've always had the image of the Father. I want the likeness of the Father. I've always had the image of Jesus. I want the likeness of Jesus. And to do that, I must do what He did. He said in one place, you're going to have to forget your family. He said to another, go and sell all. He said to another, here's mud in your eye. He said many things to many different people. But He did it according to what the Father wanted Him to do, and He didn't do it according to what was politically correct or what was theologically correct or eschatologically correct. I need more water to say that. You hearing what I'm telling you? It doesn't make any difference what anybody else thinks correct. It doesn't make any difference. We have to make our mind about what's right. I want to read you something. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles 12. One of the big differences between this church building and that church building is this one's air-conditioned. Y'all can tell, can't you? There's a lot of Christians that are all revved up to be this cool, but they can't turn the machine on. 1 Chronicles 12. I want to tell you that God is the answer to all. Y'all believe that? And God has established government. He's established it first in the individual life, second in the family life, third in the corporate life. In every one of those, He's placed headship. And every one He requires of that head. He required Jesus, His life. You the same and me the same. But in corporate moves, in group moves, there's a leader. We all agree with that, right? I'm going to say some basic things here. I just want you to swallow them for a little bit. Digest them and make them work. Add a little faith, add a little trust. 1 Chronicles 12:16. This is David, speaking of David, rising up in the ranks, coming to the position that God has called him, not yet there, but getting there, and God beginning to send people to him to help do what needs to be done. Then some of the children of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold, verse 17. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, if you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. Well, that's quite a word to introduce yourself to somebody that showed up to help you, isn't it? Hey, if you've come peacefully, if you're on my side, bless you. If you're not, may God judge you. 1 Chronicles 12:17, verse 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the captains, and he said, we are yours. We're yours. O David, we are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. So David received them and made them captains of the troop. We see a submission, we see a yielding, we see a pact or a covenant, and we see promotion all in one voice, one verse, and one voice. All in one verse. Why? Because David was an angel? You know better than that. You know David wasn't an angel. Well, why? Because God had said, David, this is what you're going to do. Didn't ask him. Said, this is what you're going to do. Why do you think David praised God so much? Because he was full of so much fear. He knew the size and scope of the job God had given him. He said, the only way I'm going to overcome this and all the other temptations and problems is I'm going to give Him praise. And every time my foolish mind thinks one bad thought, I'm going to sing to God the good thought. And Psalms came forth. Drop down to verse 22. For at that time they came to David day by day to help him, until it was a great army like the army of God. Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war. Now, I'm not going to go through all of this, but I'm going to tell you, it comes to right at 230,000 men had shown up and said, "We're going to fight with you, David. We're going to do what God has asked you to do. We're going to do what God has asked you to do." What we, in the church today, we want the Holy Spirit to tell each and every individual the exact job that's going to be done. And God still doesn't do that. He still picks leadership, and He still gives them direction and scope and focus and function, and He asks for volunteers to help. It's all right if they understand. That's praise God when they understand the direction. But it's better when they don't understand and they just volunteer anyway. You remember the guy that said, "Let me see your hands, let me see your side"? Jesus was showed them. But what did He say was that a guy that was much more blessed didn't see and still believed? Verse 23, "Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war." Let's just say 300,000 men, and 230,000 men. "And it came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord." Verse 32. "Of the children of Issachar, who had understanding." Now it's referring not to every man in the army, but to those that had understanding in an army. "Of the times," understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. "Their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command." Now, the reason I brought that scripture to you is I want you to understand. 230,000 men, it's beginning to say that out of the 230,000 men, there were 200 in that group that had an understanding of the direction they were supposed to go. Do you see that? If you'll research this out, Gideon's army is 1%. Verse 38, "All these men of war," now look at this, "all these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king." Who is being lifted up in the spotlight here that's going to make this happen? Everyone that could hold their ranks. Does anybody in this room know what holding their ranks means? Everybody that's been in the military knows what that means. That means I don't care what happens. See, if this were a squad right here, that's a position. That's a position. That's a position. That's a position. We've missing two, but that's still a position. Whether they're there or not, you can move in and complete the squad, but those holes are still open because somebody's supposed to be there. And when the war begins or when the fight, you don't break that rank unless you receive an order of where to go. You hold the ranks. Well, why would you have to hold the rank? In an attack especially, you'd hold the rank. You don't cut and run because you hear an explosion. You don't cut and run because you get afraid. You hold ranks. Let me tell you what else causes you to hold ranks. You know the voice. You know what voice to heed. These men were practiced in not being afraid. But most of all, they were practiced in heeding the leader's voice. They don't break ranks until the leader says, "Break ranks." And then they never break ranks. They just go to where they're supposed to be. Does that make sense to you? God is beginning to reveal in this passage who He's going to use mightily to restore things to where they should be. Verse 39. "And they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them." Why are you reading that one, Stan? They weren't in war, but they were prepared for war. And because they were prepared, because their hearts were prepared, and they were following the right leadership, the rest of the body had prepared for them. And they were literally living the high life, you might say, because they were obeying what the leadership, God, and the captains were saying, starting with David. "Moreover, those who were near to them, from as far away as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, were bringing food on donkeys and camels, on mules and oxen." Look at this word, verse 40. Provisions. They were bringing provisions to the army. Provisions of flour and cakes of figs and cakes of raisins, wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. For there was joy in Israel. Why? Why was there joy in Israel? Because there was some headship, there was some authority, there was some holding ranks, there was some not listening to every wind of doctrine. There was order. What is wind of doctrine? What does Isaiah 53 says? What does Isaiah 53 say? Wounded for our transgressions. For our iniquities. Okay, we were healed. Any other word than that is not the word of the one we follow. I'm hearing right now that the stock market is taking a real beating. So what do the analysts say? Well, we're all going to have to suck it up. Everybody here know who your provision is? Do you think he's in a slump? Then that's a word that you must reject. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to stop wasting money. You probably shouldn't have been doing that in the first place. I'm talking about there's no fear. That's a false voice. I'm not breaking ranks from what I believe and where I stand. And that's the last word. Did you know that every soldier in that squad has a last word? Do I obey the last word or don't I? Do I obey the leadership's word or don't I? You still have that last word, do I or don't I? And what the Scripture is showing here is those that were obeying the leadership's word, not breaking ranks, they were eating and they were living high. And more than that, they were doing it in joy. Y'all saw that, didn't you? For there was joy in Israel. Provision came from holding ranks even when we're eating. So we're not talking about standing in a squad, are we? We're talking about our position in the squad or in the body. We're holding that position. What's the first position we have to hold? Well, you got to get saved. And you got to be safe, not just get saved. You need to be working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You don't need to be moved by every wind of doctrine. Well, those are just basic steps. Those are baby steps. They're not even big steps. Those are baby steps. If we can't do that, we're never going to be able to hold ranks. Because if I walk in here with a little bitty snake that don't even rattle, I can run most of you off. A spider. We're not even knowing who we are. Somebody can come and threaten us, and it doesn't make any difference what the threat is. We'll just cave. One of the things that we've been taught in the United States. Do you understand the United States is so severely blessed they can't see it? They don't even know what abundance is unless they walk out of the United States. And then they don't begin to give God praise for the abundance. They give Congress. Don't you understand? Congress is one trying to steal your abundance.